Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I obviously know more about the negotiation than, you know, what's out there. I think that, like I said before, I think whenever one data point comes out, there's a danger in that. And so I am confident that he wants to be back here in Chicago. I know that we want him back here. And so I believe something will work out. You know, ultimately the timing to me, it doesn't matter. You know, what matters is that we're able to reach an agreement. And I think that, you know, there's a lot made of the timing, and ultimately, like, we have him for, I don't know how many more months that is, but, you know, 162 more games and, you know, 700 plate appearances. And, you know, there's a lot of time between now and free agency. And, you know, I respect his desire to put a deadline on it. That's his decision, and one that I respect completely. But, you know, our door is open. You know, we have no reason not to talk in season. And so, like I said, I'll honor that, but I am optimistic that we will end up reaching agreement.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And good evening, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your Wednesday. Last day of March, April Fool's Day tomorrow. More importantly, opening day tomorrow. Cubs right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, open against the Pirates. Kyle Hendricks will take the ball for your Cubs. Zach will have your pregame. Pat and Ron will be in the booth. And that all sounds darn good to me. Mike Esposito in for Joe Ostrowski this evening. Glad you're along with. Got a great show for you tonight. Lots planned, including we're going to talk about Anthony Rizzo and that contract situation. You just heard Jed Hoyer coming in, Jed talking today. With the media at Wrigley Field. You heard his pretty heartfelt thoughts there about Anthony Rizzo, who is under contract through the 2021 season. And we'll see what happens from there. Rizzo, if you weren't paying attention, if you kind of saw it, didn't see all of it, Rizzo had said no negotiating once the season starts. That is clearly tomorrow. And the two sides have not reached a deal yet. So, Jed talking about that earlier today. It's sure to be a topic of conversation, and we will continue to talk about it right here on The Score. 312-644-6767. We are broadcasting live from the 670 The Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Our text and our phone line, that same number, 312-644-6767. The Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Our producers this evening, Sean Anderson and Mike Rankin. We thank them for their work back at the Score Studios. As I mentioned, we have a great show coming up for you tonight. I'll get to our guests in a moment. We're baseball heavy because, as I said, it's opening day tomorrow. And it's one of the best days of the year, isn't it? The Chicago Cubs, the Chicago White Sox will get going tomorrow. The Sox in L.A. Joe Maddon will be there, of course, with his Angels. Lucas Giolito, thankfully, will be there for the White Sox as the Sox start a season filled with expectations. And we'll get to a lot of White Sox talk today, too. A lot of Cubs as well, and some Bulls sprinkled in as we are leading into Bulls-Phoenix tonight, 8:45 for Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington. They will have your pregame and then Bulls and Suns after that. We'll talk to Bruce Levine from our staff, brilliant baseball reporter, longtime guy. At 6:40, Bruce covers both sides of town. We'll get his thoughts as we head into the opener. And then with the Final Four swirling and baseball starting tomorrow, Jay Croucher from PointsBet will join us. He is their head of trading. Lots to talk to and about with Jay as we head into baseball and certainly Saturday with the Final Four. From Marquee Sports Network, Tony Andracki will join us at 7:20 talking Cubs. He will be out there tomorrow. James Fox from Future Sox will join us at 7:40 as we go over to the South Side. Plenty to talk about with them, including their very high World Series expectations. And then at 8:20, I mentioned our buddy Bill Wennington. He will join us as we get ready for Bulls basketball right here on your home of the Bulls, 670 The Score, and the Bulls taking on Phoenix this evening. Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Now back to the Rizzo conversation. Jed Hoyer, as we played coming in, doing everything but coming right out and saying, listen, we want Anthony Rizzo back and we will have him back. He can't say that because they haven't agreed to terms. I am not here saying I know anything more than what I've heard, but this certainly sounds like something that Jed will do his darndest to get done, and it sounds like something that the Cubs want to get done. At this point, they're just haggling over price. And listen, I get the let's just wrap this up thing, but we have to look at this too. And I am a big Anthony Rizzo fan. I agree with Spiegs. I think he said it last segment or two segments ago during the Parkinson Spiegel show that all along he has felt that Rizzo was the one kind of lock to come back to this team out of the core. I agree with that. I don't see this not ending well for Anthony Rizzo and the Cubs in terms of the marriage lasting a little longer. I just think at this point you're dealing with an aging guy, 31, and coming off of a not-so-great season. And listen, 2020, for many thousands of reasons, was not a great year for many people and certainly an odd year for baseball. I know as a fan, I was thrilled that we got 60 games last year. I imagine most of you listening were also glad that we got anything last year from baseball after what everyone had gone through, starting with the lockdown back in March. But it was a weird year for baseball, and some guys had terrible years, and Anthony Rizzo happened to be one of them. Now, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't god-awful, you know, worst season ever, but, you know, over 60 games, Riz had a 0.8 war. You know, certainly well below what he is normally doing when you break that out or imagine that out over 162 games. He did hit 11 home runs, but only 24 RBIs. The Cubs as a whole struggled offensively. But, you know, not the greatest of seasons. So I understand from a financial standpoint, the Cubs, as he ages, and certainly his performance bears watching. But Rizzo has been a consistent, you know, 4-6 war guy his entire full-time tenure here with the Cubs. And it's been, if I asked you how many seasons has Anthony Rizzo been here, I bet you a lot of you would guess less than the 10 seasons that this will now mark for him. I counted. I literally, on my computer screen here, counted. I'm like, wait a second. Is he? And you know he's been here that long. He's the first guy of this core that they got. You heard Jed allude to that today. You know, he talked about drafting him in Boston, trading for him in San Diego, trading for him again because Jed was the GM in San Diego before he came to the Cubs, and then trading for him again, sending Andrew Cashner there. At the time, that was a big deal. Cashner was one of the best prospects in the Cubs system, and he's had a decent big league career, but certainly Anthony Rizzo has been a great one for the Chicago Cubs. But Rizzo came over in 2012, midway through there, played 87 games, and then he has been a full-time player, of course, ever since then. We've heard 5-for-70. I know Jed talked about the data point, and I know he talked about not wanting to kind of go into the one data point, which I get. You know, these negotiations stay private for a reason. You always hear about guys in arbitration with teams. They don't want to be in that room because you don't want to hear all the negative that comes out during that. Because, listen, for better or worse, it's the team's job to point out your flaws. Listen, we don't want to pay you, you know, $20 million a year, Mr. Baseball Player, because of X, Y, and Z. And I know you're going to ask for the 20. We'd rather pay you 15. And, you know, the arbitrator will decide on one of the two figures. But I still think, and I'd love to hear what you think. Again, 312-644-6767. If you prefer to text, please do so. Same number, 644-6767. I think Rizzo ends up with the Cubs. I would be happy if he stays with the Cubs. I want him to stay on the Cubs. I don't think this is an unpopular opinion amongst Cubs fans. I know there are some people that would rather them not spend money on an aging first baseman. I just think Rizzo's different. I really do. I think he's a great A fielder. He always has been a gold glove level fielder. Prior to the whatever you want to call last year, half season, quarter season, whatever it was, his numbers had been maddeningly consistent, 25 to 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, playing almost every day. He's a guy you want. He's the face of the franchise. And certainly, if this is his last year, he's still a guy that will be a Cubs legend forever. I would like to see Anthony Rizzo come back. Can they settle on the contract terms? That is really where we're at right now. But and I know I read some of these comps too. You know, the contract Paul Goldschmidt got from St. Louis, 5 years, $130 million at a similar age. And I think there's a year difference between the two, but still very similar in age, very similar in output. You could even argue that Paul Goldschmidt, batting wise, has done more than Rizzo over the course of his career. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I would love to know all the details of the negotiations. I'm sure you will as well. But that is just not something that Jed Hoyer wants. It's not something that we all want. I know one thing that David Ross wants. That's the Cubs skipper. David Ross said today that he would certainly like to see good old number 44 back.
You know, negotiations are funny, man. That's why they take a while. And, you know, I think I heard somebody say one time, you know, negotiations never really start until they end. Right. Like, so sometimes those things happen. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Anthony having a great season, and things will work out in the end. It just, he's too good of a player. Whatever is in the cards for Anthony and us, that's kind of out of my control.
So that was yesterday. David Ross and Sean Anderson, thank you for correcting me. That was not today. That was yesterday. He wants and expects, you could kind of tell, Rizzo to be back. And listen, I get Rizzo will be 32 in August. He's August birthday, so he will be 32 in mid-season here. And there is a concern, and I advocate for this too. I'm not necessarily saying give him a 6 or 7 year contract. I'm saying let's see what the market is. Let's see how he plays. But I certainly expect, when all is said and done, that number 44 will be playing first base for the Cubs past this season. And I agree with this texter from the 708. The back injuries are my biggest worry. Agreed. You have a guy that's played a lot of games. We've seen him keep himself in that shape, though, in game shape, and keep himself ready. I am almost willing to throw last year completely out the window based on everything that happened with COVID and the, you know, the start at halfway point of the season and the 60 games and everything. That was weird for a lot of guys. We heard about the no video. We heard about all the other stuff. And we haven't even, and we'll get to Javi and we'll get to Chris Bryant and we'll get to Wilson Contreras and all of that other free agency stuff with the Cubs as well as we continue here tonight. But for now with Rizzo, listen, the back injuries are far and away my biggest worry, because if that's something that's going to plague him, you definitely want to know that. But listen, the Cubs have had him here for 10 years. They would know better than anybody if this guy has a chronic back problem. I just don't think that they would even offer him the 5 and 70 if this was something that they were worried about. 847 texter says the Cubs made a fair offer, more than fair. Well, you know what? We will find that out. We will find that out, because the market is, let's say he plays out the season, he has an Anthony Rizzo season, the Cubs still haven't re-signed him, and he goes into free agency. I don't know that he gets more than 5 and 70. And I'm guessing, I'm speculating. But what if 5 for 70 is the best offer he gets? It's possible. He will be 32 at that time. I just think one way or the other, the Cubs work it out. I do not feel the same way necessarily about Chris Bryant, about Javier Baez. It certainly seems that is an either-or proposition. I just think Riz is back. I think that is something that David Ross wants done. I think that's something that Jed Hoyer wants done. Rizzo has come out and said, obviously, he wants to retire as a Cub. And most importantly, I think Tom Ricketts wants it done. I think it's important after the stripping down of this payroll, after last season, after trading Yu Darvish, after, you know, quite frankly, the playoff struggles since 2016, since the World Series, that Rizzo is a guy that they're going to want to bring back. And, you know, with either Bryant, Baez, Contreras, whatever combination of that is back, and then rebuild from there. It's going to be interesting as they see what this shapes up to be, because there's a lot of decisions coming up for this team. And you know, listen, as fans get back in the stadiums and as things return to normal, you know, knock on wood, hopefully sooner rather than later, the financial engine that is the Chicago Cubs will kickstart back in there. And there's no way the Cubs get away with being a penny-pinching squad. And I don't pretend to know the behind-the-scenes of their finances, but certainly Darvish was traded because of how much he made. I have zero doubt about that. I have no idea what the future holds financially for the Cubs, but we've seen this team be top three in baseball and payroll. I don't think an Anthony Rizzo, you know, early 30s to mid-30s contract is something that is going to be not doable for a big market flush Chicago Cubs team. And again, knock on wood, hopefully that is sooner rather than later. I'll be curious to see how the whole fans in the stands thing progresses this year. Also, yeah, self-congratulations, but hey, let's all do it. Got the old number one vaccine shot today. I am excited about that. I can't wait to get back out to the ballpark. And I'm hopeful to see lots of you out there as well. As the Cubs and as the White Sox get their seasons going tomorrow. Plenty more to come here on The Score, 312-644-6767. Again, Bruce Levine will join us at 6:40, talking both sides of town. Jay Croucher from Points Bets at 7. And we will dive into your Chicago White Sox when we return. Ozzie Guillen on earlier today with Mully and Haas. Steve Stone on with Lawrence. Both had interesting takes on certain parts of the White Sox, and we'll get to that next. It's Mike Esposito with you here on 670 The Score.
I think right now we have to prepare that we're going to be without him and plan accordingly. Now, whether those answers come internally and he comes back on the earlier side of the timeline, or we go outside and he comes back earlier and we have, you know, too much depth at that point, you know, that's a good problem to have, and we'll deal with that accordingly. I'm all for having too many options and being pleasantly surprised by the different opportunities we have. So I think we're better off approaching it, you know, as if he's not going to be here for the 5 to 6 months, and then react accordingly if it happens sooner than that.
Sox GM Rick Hahn right there. And speaking of plenty of options, the Sox, well, actually not the Sox, but Chuck Garfine on Twitter about a minute ago from NBC Sports Chicago. Chuck says, lineup-wise for tomorrow, your left fielder will be Leury García, with your DH then, of course, being Zach Collins. And you're like, huh? Where's Vaughn? Well, apparently Vaughn will not start tomorrow. So how about that? And here we go. The fun to be had with your Chicago White Sox and all of the different Rick Hahn options as we head into 2021. That caught me by surprise. I thought for sure Vaughn would be the DH. I thought, you know, the Lurie thing might happen, but that's where we're at right now. So that is part of Tony La Russa's plan for tomorrow. Collins, your DH. Leary, the left fielder. Sox in LA taking on the Angels. Giolito against Bundy in that one. Mike Esposito back with you here on 670 The Score. In for Joe Ostrowski this evening, leading up to Bulls basketball at 8:45. The Bulls are in Phoenix, and Chuck and Bill will have your pregame at 8:45. In fact, Bill will join us at 8:20 to preview the Suns game a little bit. Right now we're talking a lot of baseball, though. It is opening day tomorrow across the country, across MLB. Some really nice games and pitching matchups tomorrow. The Cubs have Kyle Hendricks against Chad Kuehl tomorrow. You have lots of other ace games pitching tomorrow. Flaherty and Castillo, St. Louis and Cincinnati tomorrow. Scherzer and DeGrom in Washington. That one won't suck. And Lucas Giolito. You get to watch both baseball games tomorrow quite easily if you're like me and if you like both teams, because the Cubs play at 1:20. The Sox, you're going to have to stay up late. It's a 9:05 first pitch here Chicago time. But Lucas Giolito, one of my favorite players in the White Sox, will have the ball for Tony La Russa's ball club, your Chicago White Sox. And I thought of that today as I was reading my Chicago Tribune earlier this morning. Paul Sullivan's piece right there on the front page quotes Sox manager Tony La Russa from 1980. Spring training. And as I'm reading that, I'm like, I'm unfortunately old enough to remember that. Not well, but I am old enough to remember 1980 and baseball in 1980. I don't remember young Tony La Russa in his first season, though, but that gives you some perspective as to how long he has been around the game. That was his first full managerial season, the 1980 season. Of course, 83, they win the division. Yes, 83. They do win the division. But La Russa back. And I know a lot of people didn't like the move initially. I think a lot of that, at least I feel, it seems a lot of that has lessened. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong on the text line if you want at 312-644-6767. Text zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. I think a lot of the La Russa hatred, and I call it hatred, not meaning that they hate La Russa, but that they hated the pick. I think a lot of that has gone away. We also had, and I thought it was interesting this morning, Ozzie Guillen was on with Mully and Haw, and he talked about, and this again, you know, the former Sox manager has got another long history in the game of baseball. He told the guys why he thought Tony La Russa was a good choice for the White Sox this year.
I expect Tony to be the guy the White Sox need to push them to do the best, to push them to play harder, to push them. We don't need that many day off. To push them, hey, I don't want to DH, I want to play first. No, Tony, when he made the lineup, this is my lineup, and to respond that way. And I think that's the Tony I expect, and I hope, and I will think, he will be the same guy. I don't think the same guy. You know, everybody changed, getting older, no more baseball. But I think I want the guy is always behind his player, but also make him play hard and play to win. Teaching how to win, know how to play good, to put good numbers. Teaching how to win, and I think they have the right guy.
So that's Ozzie Guillen. He was on Mully and Haw this morning. You'll hear him all baseball season with the guys. As always, great stuff from Ozzie, but I tend to agree, and listen, I'm not in love with the La Russa pick, but having covered him for many years back in his St. Louis days when we would see them in town all the time, Cardinals-Cubs, the era where La Russa had great success, I think he's a smart baseball man. I know he's a smart baseball man. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best managers to ever work in this game. I think he started to earn the respect of the guys. You've heard that come out throughout camp. I know Tim Anderson has made some positive comments about La Russa after you had heard some negative ones, you know, right after the initial signing. I mean, it remains to be seen. Obviously, La Russa is he's a proven commodity, but unproven with a young White Sox team in which he's really just getting started. So he's 76 years old and kind of a new rookie in a sense that he hasn't managed in 10 years. And, you know, we'll see how he does this year. I am optimistic about the White Sox, and yeah, for there are many reasons. But I look at this starting rotation, and I know, and actually, one of the things I want to ask Bruce Levine about, and Bruce will join us at 6:40, is about Carlos Rodon, because I have predicted success for Carlos Rodon just about every year of his big league career. This year will be another one. I actually do think Rodon, a sneaky good fifth starter there, not expecting big things, but hoping for the best for a guy who's got plenty of talent, but has always managed to get bit by the injury bug. But look, I mean, your 1-2-3 are about as good as anyone in baseball with Giolito, Keuchel, and Lance Lynn. If Cease and Rodon as 4 and 5, and there are some wild card aspects to each of those guys, if Cease and Rodon can do what I think they can do and what I'm sure lots of White Sox fans think they can do, that's going to be the best rotation in baseball. And I am not even exaggerating when I say that. I mean, that is the LA Dodgers are going to have quite a rotation. Let's get that right out of the way. Your Kershaw, your Trevor Bauer. This is not a rotation to be trifled with. And we know that they are extremely deep. Walker Buehler, how could I forget him? But right there is your top competition. And I'm only saying if Cease and Rodon give you what you think they're going to give you out of that pen. And I love Liam Hendricks. And I know a lot of times the closer, free agent closer, we've seen this with Craig Kimbrell, doesn't always have success immediately at his new team. I think Hendricks is not that guy. I think Hendricks is a guy that will have great success with the White Sox. And this is a team that you know is going to hit. I mean, this is a team that will score runs. They're going to miss Eloy Jimenez greatly. And I think the pitching rotation really helps cinch it for the White Sox this year. And hopefully they can avoid injury. Sean Anderson back at the studio. I know we had talked before the show, too. I think this is a team that's going to be exciting. And I think if they don't win the division and make the playoffs, this is going to be a disappointment, right?
I don't know about if they don't win the division. I could see this team faltering and having, you know, more potholes to maneuver through than last year. I think that will probably be a huge thing about this with this entire season. I think we forget how much 162 games is. So anything could happen in that. I wouldn't be shocked if they won the division, though, and I'd probably place money on it to happen. I think it's likely, but if they make it as a wild card, I still think they can do damage. So it's all about getting into that point. So if they're in the playoffs and they're heading in with a full head of steam, I wouldn't be mad if they're not, you know, the division champion. But it is frustrating already having lineup worries in the first game with Tony La Russa, when I wasn't even that big of a fan of the hire. So I'm not worried because it's game one and I'd like to see what happens. But it is something that is, we dealt with it a ton with Renteria, and I thought that maybe it would have been gone. And it's baseball, I guess.
Yep, it is very baseball-y that we think we know something and the opposite happens. I was very surprised. I thought for sure. I mean, didn't Tony just come out the other day and say Vaughn will be in there somewhere? Didn't he just say that? Well, Vaughn's not in there, apparently.
Yeah, well, and apparently the reasoning is because they're going to have a righty starting the Angels on opening day, Dylan Bundy. And then on Friday night, they're going to be throwing out lefty Andrew Heaney. So I guess it's the lefty-righty thing, and they want to make him feel as comfortable as possible in his first MLB at-bats. But Mike Rankin's back here cutting up tape, and he's like, I thought the whole point of him being on the roster was to get him as many at-bats as possible. And you're screwing that up by not giving him as many at-bats as possible, whether it be versus righties or lefties.
So Zach Collins is your DH. If you're wondering who the DH is, and we threw this out there after Chuck Garfine tweeted it about 15 minutes ago. But yeah, so Leury Garcia playing left, undoubtedly for defense, and Zach Collins, your DH, coming out for opening night tomorrow night in LA against the Angels. Joe Maddon's Angels, by the way, and they will throw Dylan Bundy, as Sean just said. But no Andrew Vaughn. I'm a little disappointed by that. I kind of wanted to see the big guy in there. Probably the best prospect the Sox have, and I guess he's not a prospect anymore if he's made the big league roster. But up until tomorrow, I guess I could still refer to him as as White Sox prospect or their top prospect, Andrew Vaughn.
Espo, real quick here. Mike. We're having these knee-jerk reactions of the opening day leaks right in the lineup here. And the problem that I have with Andrew Vaughn not being in the lineup is that, is there, like, I'm wondering to myself, is there going to be a trend where these concerns continue where it's like, well, we're going to periodically throw Andrew Vaughn in the lineup. And I know there's concerns about his ability to play left field, but he's making the opening day roster. And he is clearly the valuable bat that they're looking at to play a huge part of the season. And he's not in the opening day lineup is very disappointing to me because I was looking forward to obviously seeing him get as many plate appearances as possible. But the larger concern is, to me, how often are they going to balance the Leary combination with Andrew Vaughn and then further extending it to when Adam Engel returns? It's just, I'm just left wondering here because I expected Andrew Vaughn to be the priority bat that'll most likely be in the lineup, you know, most of the time.
Mike, I'm 100% with you. That's Mike Rankin. He's our producer, one of our producers back at the shop, and I'm with you. You know what? I'm all for, if I have to, sacrificing defense in left field to put Andrew Vaughn out there. I nothing against Leury García, but I'm with you. I wanted to see Vaughn out there. You are already sacrificing defense with Aloy out there. Nobody's going to replace his bat. But Andrew Vaughn was sure going to try, and I was there for that. I'll still be there for that, whether it's tomorrow or Friday, whenever it is. I will still be here for that. But well, anyway, we'll talk more White Sox next hour with James Fox of Future Sox. Coming up next, actually, we'll talk Sox with him too. Bruce Levine, Score Insider, our baseball maven, will join us as we break down opening day for both the Cubs and the White Sox. We'll talk to Bruce next. Mike Esposito with you right here on 670 The Score.
I would think it's going to be Vaughn, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see what decisions are made. And the reason I say that is Rick Hahn, who we interviewed yesterday, said that they're going to make some announcements tomorrow as far as what the roster is going to look like, who's going to be where, who's going to win the eighth spot in the bullpen. Who's going to be the swing man in the infield? We got a pretty good idea about that. Who's going to be the outfielders? And so I don't think there's a great deal of competition left. There's just some roster spots that have to be filled.
And there's Steve Stone, White Sox TV voice. And it was not Vaughn in left field, as we learned just moments ago via Twitter. Leury García will start in left, it looks like, and Zach Collins, your DH for the White Sox tomorrow. To talk about all things White Sox and all things Cub, let's head out to the Score Hotline right now, brought to you by Alp. All right, so we will not head out to the Score Hotline. We are waiting, pending, a Bruce Levine, who is apparently on a Zoom call with Tony La Russa right now. We'll get Bruce fresh from the call as soon as he comes off of it. But see, even Stoney gets stumped once in a while. He thought Vaughn would be your left fielder tomorrow for the White Sox. We are getting Leury García. We are getting Zach Collins as your DH, and undoubtedly Vaughn, will come in, to the picture on Friday, against the left-hander Andrew Heaney. So we'll see that, for Friday in the Chicago White Sox lineup. Tomorrow night, it's a night game in LA, Giolito and Dylan Bundy. You have Hendricks pitching for the Cubs, opening day start against the Pirates tomorrow. Zach Zaidman will have your pregame. Ron Coomer and our buddy Pat Hughes will have the call. As always, Pat and Ron right here on 670 The Score with a 1:20 first pitch. Be sure to tune in. Cubs baseball is back, and we are excited for that right here on 670 The Score. Bruce will be joining us momentarily as soon as the La Russa call is over. And we want to continue to talk to you at 312-644-6767. A text from the 630 asking about the hype about Lance Lynn, a career 360 ERA. I am nervous about him, says this texter. Well, I'll tell you this. Lance Lynn, if nothing else, has been, you know, that workhorse type of guy that you can count on throughout most of his career. He is a veteran. He's 33 years old, but he's a guy that prior to 2 years ago had always made all of his starts. In 2019, he made all of his starts, 33. And then last year with Texas, he made a full slate of 13 starts, again, with the abbreviated season, but had a really nice year. His last few years, and again, pitching in the American League, a 3.67 ERA. 2 years ago, a 3.32 ERA. last year. More impressively last year, though, a 1.06 whip. He definitely seems to have his legs back under him after being back. And the other nice thing that I like about this that wasn't necessarily a part of the equation when they signed him with Lance Lynn is that he's played for Tony La Russa. He was on the Cardinals for the bulk of the decade. So that definitely is something that I think works in his favor. Now it's time to head on out to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or at apnissan.com. You find him on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. Bruce, good evening. How are you, my friend?
Mike, always a pleasure to talk to you, especially talking baseball before opening day. Doesn't get much better than that. The country and the city of Chicago, we need our baseball, and hopefully it'll be here in total this year.
Yeah, and I understand you were just on the La Russa call, and we also got a little news out of there from the lineup based on who's playing left and who's DHing.
I was not on the La Russa call, so.
Oh, my mistake. I was misinformed. Well, Larry Garcia is getting the start in left. Zach Collins will be your DH tomorrow, so lots of moving parts there, and Tony is already using him. I know a lot of people thought Vaughn would get one of those slots tomorrow, but that's where Tony's going tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I posted a something on Twitter that Tony was considering either DH or left field for Vaughn, and I guess he considered the idea that it would be better that Collins starts tomorrow. And Collins has had a super spring training, both offensively and defensively, really proved himself to the team and to La Russa and the pitchers that he is a major league hitter for sure and catcher that is improving, and that is why you see the move. Also, the Angels play in a pretty big ballpark, and Garcia is the best choice defensively because of the room that you have to cover. So I think it's a good call by Tony.
Yeah, nothing wrong there with the defense and left, certainly. And I'm excited personally to watch Lucas Giolito, Bruce. I know we've had many conversations over the years as Giolito has come up and then struggled out of the gate. But he has really established himself, I think, as a true number one. And I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Yeah, I mean, he is, he has the aura about him now, Mike, to go along with the pitches. I mean, you see the development over the last 3 years from being one of the worst pitchers in the league, actually the highest ERA in baseball 3 years ago, to, you know, being one of the top pitchers over the last 2 years, and just a aura about him when he goes out there that he's not only going to be good, but he's going to continue to go out there until they tear him off the mound. He looks like a guy from the old days that wanted to go out there and throw nine innings, which doesn't happen very much anymore. But he is that type of pitcher, and he has created, you know, a different role for himself as a would-be pitcher to an ace pitcher for the White Sox.
Talking to Bruce Levine, 670 The Score, also a contributor on Marquee. And Bruce, I imagine I saw your picture from the press box today on Twitter, at Wrigley. The Cubs will have the Pirates there tomorrow afternoon with Kyle Hendricks getting the start. Had to be nice to get back at the old ball yard, and Jed Hoyer had lots to say today.
He did, yeah, and it was great to be back in the ballpark. Not too many of the media showed up today because everything was on Zoom, and most of the media that were already in spring training have seen these guys work out, and they spent about 45 minutes on the field. But Hoyer was certainly very positive about something that Anthony Rizzo wasn't very positive about a few days ago, when he said that negotiations are off and that we're not going to be talking as of opening day about an extension on a contract. Ken Rosenthal, the Athletic, reported that the offer was 5 years, $70 million. Rizzo coming off of a 9-year contract that will pay him $70 million over that time. It was a great contract for Rizzo when he signed it back in 2013, when he had really hadn't proved anything yet, but the belief by the Cubs were there, and it turned out to be a tremendous contract for the Cubs, who've gotten 9 stellar years out of an all-star player and have averaged paying him about $7.5 million a year.
Yeah, and the tough part of this, and we've had mixed reaction from our listeners, and certainly it's understandable, but, you know, the age thing creeps in. People point out his back injuries, but I've always thought of Rizzo out of this entire core, and this is not recent. This is not a recent thought, but even going back, you know, to the World Series season, you know, while Bryant might have been the MVP of the National League that year, you always kind of felt in your bones that Anthony Rizzo was the leader, was the key guy out there in terms of the Cubs and who they looked to on that field. That was always my impression. What was your take on that?
Well, he's been the face of the organization since he got there, okay? And he established himself early, not only an exemplary player on the field, but off the field, one of the great Chicagoans, somebody that's raised millions and millions of dollars for children's cancer research, other charities in the Chicagoland area, always time for people, always a smile on his face. You know, he is Chicago Cub baseball, and the Cubs don't argue that, okay? Because they don't agree on the money. Hoyer said today that he wants Anthony Rizzo to be a Cub for a long time, and that even though there's a difference in what they feel they want to pay or what Rizzo wants, he is very optimistic, and he underlined optimistic more than once in the conversation, that he believes something will be worked out and that Rizzo will stay a Chicago Cub. And I think that would be a nice outcome. As far as the money, you know, it's interesting to take sides. You know, they're basically offering him the same contracts that he's made over the last 2 years, which is not a slap in the face. I mean, if you see Jose Abreu on the other side of town, last year signed a 3-year deal extension for $16 million a year. So a lot of people thought he was underpaid, but in reality, you know, people can't relate to separating $16 million from $30 million. Guys like you and I and the normal white-collar, blue-collar guy out there, we can't make heads or tails out of that. I can tell you that knowing Anthony Rizzo, it's not that he's greedy, and it's not that he thinks he can't get by on the money he's made already. I know that he feels deep down that he's made enough money for himself, his family, and his family's family for a lifetime. It's about getting paid what your numbers and your aura has been all about. That's what he wants, and that's a union thing as well. Representing the union properly, making sure the numbers stay up there so that people after him can continue to get paid. That's a very much part of this as well.
Yeah, and I think that goes really to the level of importance too, Bruce, that he hasn't seen free agency. I mean, you mentioned the Cubs had him tied up with that contract for so long. This is really his first crack at it, and he wants to explore it, and that is his every right. And I certainly hope, and judging by Jed's comments today, I don't want to say expect, but I certainly lean towards the likelihood that that he will be back.
Yeah. I don't think anybody is wrong here, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, the Cubs are offering a 5-year deal, according to the reporting by Rosenthal. I think that's accurate. So they're not saying they don't want Anthony Rizzo. If you're willing to offer somebody a 5-year contract, that means that you believe in their talent and you believe that they're going to help you win. Now, the other part of it is Rizzo has every right in the world to go out and get the best contract that he can. And he'd like it to be here in Chicago. And we'll see how it shakes out. I did like very much the positivity that Jed had out there today when he talked.
All right, Bruce. Well, we certainly appreciate your time this evening. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll see you back out there tomorrow for opening day. Kyle Hendricks, and excited to get another baseball season underway.
Yeah, it's going to be great, and just everybody enjoy, stay healthy and happy, and let's hope we have a full 162-game season.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. That is Bruce Levine from our staff at MLB Bruce Levine on Twitter. If you'd like to follow him, as I and many, many tens of thousands other baseball fans do. When we come back, we will switch gears just a little bit, a little to the baseball, but certainly a lot to the Final Four, too. From PointsBet, Jay Croucher, their head of trading, will join us. Talk a lot of different things with Jay. I'm excited to do this next. He will join us on 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.